Fantastic. So we're going to continue to think about this whole idea of us being in Christ and what it means to be alive in Christ. This is a wonderful thing to think about, just thinking about what it means to be awake as a Christian. So I'm not talking about being asleep or snoozing. No snoozing allowed today. We're going to think about what it means to have a Christian faith that is full of life, that is vital, and that is real. And that is true for us at whatever stage of life we're at. We can know a life that is vibrant and full and real. And that's what we've been talking about over the last month or two. So just a quick recap, because we do have a few pauses and a few weeks in between when we're doing our series. So we have the first slide up there, Marion, just to give us a bit of a reminder. So we thought about identity. That was our first Sunday when we looked at this. And what it means to have a new identity when we come to know Jesus. And we looked at, do you remember, all the imagery that Paul talked about being adopted and being valued and loved and having a new identity, a new start when we come to faith. So that's really exciting. So first of all, we've got a new identity. And then we looked at transformation. We had another Sunday when we talked about the fact that it's only really the beginning when we come to faith. We've got a whole journey of changing and being shaped and transforming. And God's Holy Spirit is doing that in us. And God starts to do that work in us and to change us. And that's really exciting, isn't it, that we're works in progress. And then Tim spoke last time about belonging. That not only is this about ourselves, but it's also about becoming part of a whole family and belonging to a whole community, God's family. And that's here locally, but also we join a global church, don't we? And I've been thinking a lot about our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sure many of you have in Ukraine this week, what it means for us to be alongside them, praying for them and supporting them. And there'll be other parts of the world that people are concerned about today, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's good to remember that it's not just about us, it's about the community as well that we're in. And today we're going to look at another very challenging area of being alive in Christ that Paul tells the Ephesians. It's about becoming mature. It's quite an interesting word, is it? Maturity. So before we get started, we're just going to have a very short discussion or a bit of sharing. But when you hear that word mature, what does it mean? What do you feel like when you hear me say that word? You're all really laughing, so I can imagine we're going to have some interesting things here. So this is the same as well. We might have a group as well on Zoom, just thinking about what it means. When you hear that word mature, what do you think? So a few seconds just to talk about what you think about when you hear the word mature. Okay, everybody, I think we'll come back and see what we've got from that very brief discussion. I'll call everybody to order. Order. Let's have a listen to see what the group's got. Let's start off with our Zoom group. What sort of ideas do we get from our Zoom group? Cheese. Oh, interesting. Mature cheese comes to mind. Fantastic. Nice aroma, nice flavour, nice taste, maybe? Ah, okay. So something about maturity bringing flavour. It's quite an interesting one, and nice scent, yeah. Any other thoughts about maturity when you hear that term maturity?
Yeah,
crumbly. Crumbly. Oh, that's an interesting one. Crumbly, mature. So, is that thinking about age or?
Yeah.
So you're thinking more about age-related maturity. Okay. Any other thoughts about maturity?
Is it?
Experience. Okay, that's an interesting one. So maybe not age as much, but more about experience. Did anybody else have the discussion about whether maturity is about age or not?
Yeah. It's not, we said, it's nothing to do with age. It's actually understanding and application of what you've learnt.
Yeah. So something about experience and application of what you've learnt. Yeah. Do we have other groups that were...
We looked at the stages of learning and developing and actually remembering, and that's half the problem. So you go from unconscious incompetence.
Remembering.
Thank you, Colin. It's unconscious incompetence, where you don't know what you're doing and you can't do it, You've then got conscious incompetence, where you know what you should be doing, but you can't do it. You've then got conscious competence, where you have to think about what you're doing. And then the last stage is where, which is full maturity, which is unconscious competence. You can do it without a great deal of
thought. Oh, unconscious competence. Fantastic.
Where does the unconscious incompetence come from?
Thank you for that.
Do we have anybody that feels they've reached that point? That's really helpful, though, isn't it? Because there is something in there which we're going to pick up as we go through the passage about growth and learning and experience and remembering. That's really helpful to remember that, isn't it? But it's something that we grow into, and I think that's really helpful. So hold on to some of these ideas, maybe not the crumbling bit. And we'll think about some of these ideas that we've shared. And I also love that idea about that as you mature, you start to get a stronger flavour and a character about you. That's a really interesting thought, isn't it? And we're going to pick up that as well as we move through the passage. But we're going to hear from it first of all. We're going to listen to Ephesians being read from Ephesians 4. I'm going to turn to Leslie for this. And she's going to come and read us the text that we're looking at this morning. If you want to follow it in the Bibles, it's from Ephesians 4, and we're looking at verses 1 to 14. Thanks, Leslie.
So Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave to some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Fantastic, thank you. That's a really meaty passage, isn't it, to look at today and to think into. But we're going to have a go because this is really important to us. If we want to mature in Christ and to grow up as believers as well. I wonder if you've ever thought how easy it would be able to do something if other people were just more like you. If they thought like you, if they were interested in things that you like to do, if they had the same goals as you, it's so much easier, isn't it? If everybody was like me, I could get on and do stuff so much more easily. Sometimes the biggest barriers, we think, are other people to achieving what we want to achieve. I wonder if you can relate to that. Some of you might be facing some challenges in your family life or maybe at work. And of course, we never feel like that in church, do we? No, of course we do, because it's really challenging, isn't it, when we start to do something together or have a vision or move forward, it would be so much easier if everybody was like me. But this passage isn't about that, is it? It's about becoming mature. And the interesting thing about this passage is that Paul suggests that this process of becoming mature is done in community. So that's a really interesting thought, isn't it? That the way that we become mature is forged and it's honed in our relationships with one another. That somehow Paul's telling us we actually need each other. We need to be in community if we're going to grow and be mature. It's not something that we can do on our own in splendid isolation. And this makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If we think about our own human experience of family life, some of us will have had really positive experiences of family life, others maybe not. But one of the things that does happen in family life is that that's where we grow and where we mature, where our personality is shaped. It can damage us, it can bring out the best in us, the worst in us. But it does shape us, doesn't it, being in relationship in family life. And so it is in our Christian family as well, that as we commit to work with one another, pray together, minister to one another, as we make decisions about moving forward as a community, it shapes us and it shapes our qualities and the characters of who we are. The church, we are a gift to one another. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That we are a gift to one another. And it's the experience of being together in unity that will shape and help us to mature. So we're going to look a little bit more closely at this passage in Ephesians 4. And I have to say, as I read this and thought about it, I found it extremely challenging. I looked at this and it made me want to pray about moving forward and growing and becoming more mature. So some of the stuff I'm going to say today will be quite challenging for us, but that's okay. It's good sometimes to be challenged, isn't it? It's good to think about what God is calling us to be like. But what I want to say is I'm joining in with this journey as well. And I've been finding it challenging too. So I hope you find it challenging, but also encouraging as we go through. Because if we want to be mature people, people of the kingdom, we need to take a lot of these things that we're going to look at this morning seriously. They're important. God is saying to us, we need to grow up. And he's saying that to me as well. And this amazing passage talks a lot about how we can do that. So let's start looking at what Christian maturity looks like. I've got the next slide up there, Marion, if that's okay. So this is the first thing at the beginning of that passage that Paul talks to us about. And it's something about personal qualities. And this is an area that I found particularly challenging. What does maturity look like? And what does maturity not look like? So I put the two either side because I found this really helpful when I was thinking about it. So Paul tells us that maturity, someone that you might view as mature, will be somebody that is humble and gentle and patient and loving. They're not full of pride. They're not about imposing their beliefs, their views on others. They're not impatient. They're not intolerant or they're not unloving. That's really challenging, isn't it, to hear some of these words? And then communities that are mature, they have these characteristics, but there's also an amazing experience of unity in mature Christian communities. There's peace, there's shalom in communities that are mature, and there's a forbearance, a patience with one another. When you look at some of these qualities, the world probably looks at them and might see them as quite weak. But they're not weak at all. There's something about an inner strength in them. There's something about self-control and thinking about others first. There's something in there about loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbour as yourself. That probably sounds something very familiar that Jesus spoke about as the key commands that he gives to us. These qualities, they have real power. They have power to change communities and societies that we live in. We need more of this, don't we, in our world, when we look at the world today. When I was doing this, I was thinking about an example of somebody that I would see as really mature in faith. I don't know if you can think of somebody at the moment that you might hold in your mind. Think about the qualities that you think about them when you think about that person. It led me to think about a lecturer that I currently have at college, and I see a lot of these qualities in the way that he goes about his work and teaches the students. He's deeply humble. He's interested in others. He's respectful, and you feel all that when you're in lectures with him. But there's also something really, really challenging about him, because when I'm in his classes, I want to try and be a better person. I don't know if you feel that when you're with people that really inspire you. He inspires me to want to try and be a better person. And these are really strong qualities to have, aren't they? As you read a bit further through the beginning of that passage, verses 3 and 6, Paul tells us some really important theological things about what this might mean. To be able to be mature, we need to look to God himself. God who is mysterious, God who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, united together in peace and with mutual love to one another. This is the example of how to be mature. And Paul writes about that here in this passage. God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, mutual love, together working in peace and in great strength. That is maturity. And that's the example that we pull from as believers. There's also something in verse 7 Paul gives us as advice as well. It's about also knowing that we are people of grace, and that we have all that we have in faith is because of what Christ has done for us. It's not something that we deserve, it's a gift. Mature people live with thankfulness in their heart for all that Jesus has done for them. And that then influences the way they think and feel about themselves, the way that they behave. As we get closer to God, to his Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we become more mature. And that's really helpful to see that in the verses that Paul writes here to the Ephesians. So a question, as you reflect on your own life, do you see these characteristics in you? If you had to ask someone that's really close to you, would they be able to describe these characteristics in you? Looking at Alistair. Because that's where it becomes really real, isn't it? When we actually live these things in our life and people can see them. And I wonder if God is saying to us, whether he's saying to me, you need to grow up. So that's a real challenge from those verses. Let's have a look at another thing that Paul tells us about maturity. So this is interesting because it picks up a bit about what Tim was talking about. The idea about being people that were always open to learning and growing. And something about being willing to use our gifts to help others to learn and grow in faith as well. So Paul talks about maturing being always learning, committed to growth, able to learn from others, that humility aspect, but also a willingness to contribute our own gifts to enable others to learn. And there's something about strength and solidness in there. Ability to discern what is true. All those signs of maturity. This is not about rejecting growth or not listening to others or being reluctant to share your gifts. It's not about being tossed around in our faith and understanding or being static or passive. It's this idea of moving and growing forward. And I don't know about you, I want that, some of this in my life. I want to be somebody that's always growing and changing and moving towards being more like Christ. If you pop the next slide up, Marion. As I was thinking about this, have I got a picture? Try the next one. If I've got the picture of that's the one I'm looking for. We'll come back to the other one. I don't know if you recognise the sign on the left. Some of you might do.
Boys Brigade.
It's a BB sign, yes, it is, isn't it? And there's a very interesting picture in there, isn't there, of the anchor, which is right at the centre of that. Yeah, can you remember the rest of that? It's a lovely hymn. I nearly sung that today about the anchor that keeps the soul. Yeah, sure and steadfast. So this is a lovely symbol of being mature, because Paul talks about this idea about we're not like boats that are kind of like being tossed around all over the place, here and there. This is about having our faith deeply anchored into Christ, and it gives us stability and security and steadfastness. Whatever life brings in our direction, we have that strength, that inner strength in us. And this is another picture that I wanted to pop up. Thanks to Rosemary. She shared a lovely reflection a couple of weeks with me that I just wanted to share with you, because I think this speaks a lot into maturity. It's from a book by Virginia Duhanis. And she has inspirations from a paper boat. So you can see where I'm going with here. It's this idea. Paul was talking about being tossed about in the waves. And she talks about this lovely picture of going and looking around in a harbour with all the boats there, all ready to go, all tied up in good repair. But they're in the harbour all together, sitting there. And God gives her a picture of Dunkirk, where all the little boats went out, and they went out and they rescued the people that were stranded outside, that were frightened, that needed help, needed to be taken off the beach. And she gives a real strong challenge here about what it means to be mature in Christ. That idea of a sailing ship that is out of the harbour, with all its equipment and skills and abilities that Paul's talking about here, that's ready to face the waves, that's strong, the high waters, but has got the sails out with God's Holy Spirit there, taking it forward to rescue others. And it's a lovely picture, isn't it, of maturity, that idea of not bobbing around, but being out there in the ocean, but with strength and direction, with your sails full and moving forward. So thank you, Rosemary, for sharing that. I think it's a very timely word for us today, as well as a church. One of the interesting things about this passage, as you look at it, Paul talks about gifts, doesn't he, of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And what's interesting about this verse is that Paul indicates that there will be these people in our church communities. They are there. It's a real diverse and it's a rich list of contributions and gifts that people have. This isn't about being all the same or about uniformity. It's about releasing one another to use our own gifts and abilities to bless and encourage one another. And when we were praying earlier, and you talked about the family of being a body, it just links in with this, Flavia. You prayed about the body of Christ, which I heard as you were praying. And this lovely picture here is of us being a body of Christ and what it means to be mature. And Christ is at the head. It's an interesting image, isn't it, that Paul gives to us of what maturity looks like. The head has got the ears and the mouth and the nose and the brain. It does all the thinking and leads the body. And we are the body, we're the hands, and we're the feet. But it's about Christ being in charge, isn't it? And we're going to come on to that in a second. But to be a mature community, we need to be a community that releases people to use their gifts. We need to be looking for that in one another. And we need to be allowing people to use their gifts so that we might learn and grow from one another and grow into maturity. Can we go back to that slide, that very last one that we click there? So this was the final point that I just wanted to make, and it is this idea about Jesus being in charge. So a mature Christian is someone that knows that it's Christ that's in charge of their life, not themselves. We can choose to do life our own way if we want to. We can put ourselves in charge, or we can choose to do life Christ's way and put Jesus in charge. And the mature Christian is one that has Jesus in charge, trusting and believing in him as the source of life, learning from him. And it's a life's work. We're all in this process of putting Christ in charge of our lives. It's going to take us all our lives, but it's something that we can do together. So just to bring this to a conclusion, as we think about the passage today, there's some real challenges here, isn't there? I wonder what God might be bringing to your mind as you think about what this is about. This call to have a character that is a reflective of what Jesus is like. Humble, thankful for all that Christ has done for us. Learning what it is like to be in unity from God to his Father, Son and Holy Spirit. It might be that you need to ask God to show you the areas that you need to grow in and mature. And that might be something you need to do this week. Go away and think about this and ask God to help you on your journey of maturity. As I've been speaking, you might realise that you need to go and ask someone for some forgiveness, that you've not behaved in the way that is helpful and mature. And that might be an action that you might choose to take. Church life should be full of these moments of asking forgiveness, of being reconciled, changing our behaviour towards one another. This is kingdom living. This is really living life fully. And we all need to do this from time to time. We're all human and we get things wrong and we need to ask for forgiveness. But as we do that, as we seek God for maturity, as we ask for forgiveness, it brings us into unity. It brings us into this shalom that the Bible talks about a peaceful way of living. Some Christian communities use a daily prayer, and I know some people here do it. It's called the prayer of Examine, where you each at the end of the day, you take the day before the Lord and you ask him to show you the things that have brought you closer to him and the things that have taken you away from him, and then pray that through. And I think that's a really helpful spiritual discipline that we can use. And then finally, just to encourage you, don't stop learning. Don't stop learning and being open to God's Spirit using you. Whatever age we are, God will use you in the circumstances that you're in. This is an encouraging passage, isn't it, for us today, about what it means to grow into maturity as believers, but also as a Christian community as well. And it's a great passage to think about as we move towards communion in a minute. This lovely gift that we've been given by Jesus of communion, it allows us to think again about all that he has done for us in his death, the hope that he brings in his resurrection, but also that we come together as a community around the table together. It's a wonderful gift, and we're going to be doing that in a minute as we move towards communion. But let's sing our next song as we begin to prepare for that. And it's How Deep the Father's Love for Us. It's a song that reminds us about what Jesus has done for us. And again, who we are in Christ. So let's sing this, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's stand.